Good evening. The grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. It's wonderful to be with you here on this Ash Wednesday evening. We've already had an opportunity to worship on the Whitmore Lake campus, and then to be here is just such a blessing. I was telling Bob, and Bob agreed that it's nice for Bob and I to be worshiping together, which we haven't been able to do in quite a while, and so that's a real blessing too. Tonight is a night when we remember our mortality. We remember, literally, that we came from dust, and to dust, the very elements of the universe, we will return. But it is also a time, as we begin Lent, when we remember the promise of eternity through the grace of Jesus Christ. And so we balance in this moment mortality and immortality by God's grace. My hope is that tonight, in the midst of that balance, you might feel the forgiving and all-loving presence of God through God's Holy Spirit. And so we're going to begin worship with a song, and you'll notice there are no screens. You're actually, it's old school, get your hymnals out. We'll be using both hymnals. The red hymnals are the three-digit numbers. The black hymnal, the smaller one, are the four-digit numbers. And you'll notice on our first hymn, we're going to have scripture kind of in between the verses. So you'll sing a couple verses, and then you'll hear a reading, and then a couple verses and hear a reading. So, and we'll remain seated as we do this.
Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation.
Please join me in the opening prayer printed in your bulletin. O God, maker of everything and judge of all that you would have made, from the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts and put within us a new spirit, that we may repent our sins and live lives worthy of your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So we generally have some type of theme during the 40 days of Lent. And I do have to point out that there are 40 days in Lent, although for those of you who are particular about your numbers, if you look at a calendar, you're going to count more than 4 days. We don't count the Sundays and the holy days of Lent. It's the other days. The Sundays in Lent are actually considered little mini Easters. So that during these 40 days, we are looking at being on the road to the cross with Jesus. Now, if you think about the stories that you know of being on that road, you'll think of some of the major characters that are involved. We have the disciples, especially Peter, and the beloved disciple, John. We've got Judas, the one who betrays Jesus. Pontius Pilate, who he goes before, including in that trial, Caiaphas, the high priest. And so those are some of the characters that come to mind. But during this Lenten season, as we walk the road to the cross, instead of some of the major characters, we're going to look at some of the minor characters. Along the way, you're going to meet a centurion and a convicted criminal. You'll meet someone who was simply a bystander on the day of crucifixion. You will meet someone who, in the dark of night, fell in love with Jesus. Today, you're going to have an opportunity to meet Mary of Bethany, and she will tell her story. Before she does, I do want to, in the tradition of the church, invite you into a holy Lent. Lent is a time when we take space to reflect, participate in self-examination, and devote ourselves in ways that honor God. For some of us, we are already determining today what we will give up for Lent, if that is your practice. And for others of us, we are determining today what we will change or what we will do during these 40 days of Lent. This is the traditional invitation, that this is a season of restoration and a reminder of the mercy and forgiveness that is given to us through the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we invite, in this time, that we will all practice self-examination and repentance. And repentance is an old-fashioned word, but it means to turn and go another way. So we will practice turning in some of our habits and going another way. We will practice prayer and fasting and self-denial. Now, I know when we think of fasting, we're like, oh my gosh, there's no way I can go days of fasting, because sometimes that's what we think. But it might be something like skipping a meal and offering that money that that meal would have cost to the poor, or skipping a meal and allowing that hunger to remind you of the hunger of God. This is also a time when we read and meditate on God's holy word. And my hope is that if you are in the midst of a practice of scripture reading, keep with it. And if you're not, that you might find a way to just drop scripture into your daily habits. So we begin Lent remembering our mortal nature and our immortal promise. And as we hear from Mary of Bethany, we remember that Lent is a time when we can give to God what is precious to us, our time. We can honor God.
You know, this church gives a lot of things to a lot of people. And after the spaghetti dinner last night, I was so proud and so happy and so overwhelmed with the generosity of the Redbird Mission team, because the leftovers went to a member of the Dorcas crew who happens to be a teacher at a school who lost their funding for lunches. And so the leftovers from the spaghetti dinner are going to feed about 50 kids lunches, and they don't normally have food. So thank you, congregation. The Bible reading tonight is John 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those lying at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, a very expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used it to help himself to what was in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me."
There was a time when the most precious thing that I had was a jar of perfume. It was in a container, and it had an earthy smell, deep and rich. I was saving it for my wedding day. Sometimes I'd lift the lid just to catch the scent. To me, the perfume smelled like the future, full of promise and hope. That was before my dreams of the future were changed forever. My brother Lazarus became gravely ill. My sister Martha and I did all we could to help him. We prayed that God would intervene and somehow make him well. We were followers of Jesus, and so we sent for him. We were convinced that if anybody could help our brother, it would be Jesus. But Jesus and his followers arrived too late, and Lazarus died. Martha and I alone had to prepare the body for the burial, and I remember it so clearly. Martha ran around gathering the linens to wrap the body, and I brought my perfume. I told Martha that we would use the nard, but she said no. And in our grief, we argued. And finally, eventually, Martha convinced me that I had honored my brother when he was alive and that we did not need to use the perfume at this time. Friends and family helped us to carry Lazarus to the grave. We placed his body inside the tomb, and we sealed the tomb. I'd saved the jar of perfume, but the thought of using it in the future for celebration broke my heart. 4 days after we laid Lazarus in the tomb, Jesus arrived. Martha met him. She told him that she believed that he was the Messiah, the one that God had sent to save his people. I was unbelievable about her faith because when I met Jesus, I did not speak with words of faith. I accused him and said, "If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus didn't argue with me. He simply asked to be taken to the tomb, and there he cried. In the days that followed, what happened was like a blur for me of sorrow and shock and then joy, because Jesus asked for the tomb to be opened. He then prayed, and then he asked Lazarus to come out. And he did. He was alive. And so my memory of what happened after that was a complete blur. I couldn't avoid being with Jesus. I wanted to hear his every word. I sat with him whenever he was in our house, between his trips back and forth to Jerusalem. I felt the tension within the disciples, but we did not know that this was going to be Jesus' last week of life. One evening, Martha was serving a meal, and Jesus was sitting with Lazarus at the table. I rushed forward in my gratitude with my precious perfume. It was all I had to give him. I poured the fragrance out on him, and it filled the room with its odor. It was the gift that I'd saved for a celebration. Of course, I never imagined that we would be using it now, and Jesus would take it to his grave. It's been years now that I celebrate that Jesus lives. And I'll admit that there are days when I wish I had saved a bit of that perfume for my wedding day. But I know that kneeling before Jesus and giving him my most precious gift was the right thing to do. And I am committed from here on to give him my most precious self until I see him again.
During Lent, one of the things we do is you start off on Ash Wednesday with ashes. And what we do is we take palm branches from Palm Sundays and we burn those and we keep those and then we mix them with a little bit of olive oil. And what will happen is you'll come up and Pastor Sherry and I will each have a cup with the ashes on them, and you'll have an option of either receiving a cross on your forehead, or if you would prefer, you can receive that on your hand. And regardless of which you choose, if you leave this place and you're out in public, you may have someone look at you and wonder why you didn't wash your face today. And that is a wonderful opportunity when they mention it to you to explain to them, this is one of your spiritual practices as we enter into Lent and as we start down the path and follow Jesus down that road. So Sherry will join me. I'll be praying over the ashes. And you'll hear these words when we place them on your forehead. You'll either hear, repent and believe the gospel, or remember you are dust, and to dust you will return. Please pray with me. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
invited you into a time of prayer. We'll begin, and this is a kind of a traditional progression. We'll begin with a prayer of thanksgiving, and then I will move into a written prayer of confession, offer some time for silent confession, and then end with a time of remembrance of pardon and the Lord's Prayer. So I invite you to join me now in prayer. Lord, we are a hopeful people because of you. We know that there is light in the future because of your light that shines in our lives now. And so, as we come into this time of Lent that often is considered a darker time in our Christian year, help us always to cling to the light of your love and the hope that fills us by your Spirit. We are grateful that you sent your Son to save the world. We are grateful that he walks with us and among the peoples of this world. We are grateful that he weeps with us and rejoices with us, and in all things hopes and works the best for us. And we give you all praise. We also know that we come not because we have in some way earned your love, but instead that it is like all of the best love that comes our way in this life, freely given. And so we rejoice and give thanks. And with our hearts open and trusting in you, we ask that you might be with us as we pray in a time of confession. Lord, there have been ways that we have failed in this life, and our failures weigh heavily upon our hearts. We cannot share them all with our brothers and sisters because they may weigh too heavily upon them. But you know what our failures are, O God, and how far we have fallen short of your standards and expectations. We know that nothing can be hidden from you. We can only acknowledge our brokenness and accept your loving forgiveness. Purge us of our guilt, O Lord. Heal the hurts of those who have been afflicted by our failures. Revive our flagging spirits. Restore us to the joy of assurance of a right relationship with you. Reinstate us in your purposes and help us to avoid the snares and pitfalls along the way. And now, Lord, we take a few moments to offer to you our personal confessions. Oh God, we've offered our confessions, but we know that our relationship with you does not stop here. You are almighty and merciful. You desire not the death of a sinner, but that we turn from wickedness and live, repent, and accept forgiveness of our sins, and wait on your Holy Spirit for restoration to new life. We are thankful. And we remember this as we pray the prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we begin our time for Holy Communion, I would invite you to turn to page 15 and you'll find the abridged liturgy of the that we'll be reading, and so you could follow along. It's what's usually on the screens. In the ancient church, the practice was to offer confession, to hear pardon, and then to come together for Holy Communion. So we are at that point. And in this time, there is a great thanksgiving, and then there's a remembrance of what Jesus did on the night of his death, and then we move into a time where we call on the Holy Spirit to be in the elements. So you're kind of practicing on this night all of that ancient tradition, and some of the prayers and the remembrances that we offer in Holy Communion are thousands of years old. It's an amazing thing. As we begin, I want to remind you that in the United Methodist Church, we understand that this table is the table of Jesus Christ, and every person is welcome here. And we give thanks for that. I invite you now to join me as we come to a call to communion, and you'll find it again on page 15. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and established an everlasting covenant with every living creature upon the earth.
When you delivered us from slavery and made us your covenant people, you led Moses to your mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and gave us your teachings. You led us through the wilderness, you fed us manna for 40 years, and brought us to the promised land. When we forsook your covenant, you sent your prophet Elijah to your mountain, where as he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he heard your still, small voice.
And so with your people on earth, and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn,
Holy, 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 Holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights in preparation for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, and he gave thanks to you, and then he took and he broke the bread, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, given for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. I want to invite the communion servers to come forward, and we do have some ushers that will be helping to guide you forward, and we're grateful for that. Lord, in this Lenten season, fill us by your Spirit. In times when we are most empty, and in times when we are filled by emptying ourselves for you, in all times, fill us by your Spirit. We ask this in the confidence of a forgiven people. Amen. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And I invite you to repeat that. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Let us offer ourselves to God and God's glory and honor as forgiven and reconciled people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.